Right now, I would like to welcome Daniel Werwath. He is the president of the board of Warehouse 21 and Kimber Shining Star, who's also a member of the board. Warehouse 21, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary.
Now, Warehouse 21 used to be a warehouse in the Paseo de Peralta right near Santa Fe, and it was a place where young people could do their thing. What things have been done there?
Oh, boy. What hasn't been done? A lot of music. Music was probably the primary function of Warehouse 21. Hundreds and hundreds of shows, local acts, touring acts, some recording.
Well, there's a lot of things that I think people see about Warehouse and see music and see different things, but there's also a lot of arts programming, a lot of things related to, in the past, silk screen, fashion design. But what's going on now is, you know, our building, as of last January, we moved out. We've been homeless for the last year and building a brand new facility on the rail yard that's just under 17,000 square feet. So this
is very big.
It's really big.
It's really big. And it's maybe so big that we didn't even realize how big it was till we started trying to plan out the spaces and plan out all the things that we're doing. So, but this new facility is going to have a lot of expanded programming, a lot of new programming around the arts. And so some of the stuff that's definitely an improvement over some of the, you know, tin sheds and other things that we had running before, we have a very large visual arts studio that's going to be doing printmaking, traditional photography, silk screening, which is a long-established program of ours. And we also have two full performance spaces, whereas before we had one that had an occupancy of about 75 people. We have two performance spaces now that are about 300 people each. And so there's one downstairs and upstairs. The downstairs is going to be dedicated to live shows, and upstairs will be performing arts, so things along the lines of dance, theater, spoken word poetry, things of that nature. The other real big thing that we're going to have in this new building that's a big expansion on previous programs is a digital media arts lab, which I think is going to be a great opportunity for youth in Santa Fe to get experience working with, you know, design, computer design, website design, animation, digital film. You know, as Kimber said, you know, in the past we did recording. We have a full recording studio in this new building, and so that'll be used a lot in conjunction with digital media arts and producing, you know, film, soundtracks, and recording local bands and other things of that nature. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Now, the reason it's called Warehouse 21 is because it's for teens, for people under 21. You're describing an art center that sounds like it could serve a small country.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, I mean, it's definitely how it feels. planning it out over the last few months. I think one of the things that, you know, the way we're addressing that is by making it more of a community resource and kind of opening
up. So all ages, not just teens?
Well, no, our focus is still on teens and being an all-ages venue and things of that nature. But I think one of the things that we saw as important when we're going through, I guess to give a little background, you know, we've been planning the last year, working with focus groups, working with stakeholders in the community who are doing all the different types of programming that we want to have in a robust form in this new building. And so through that process, one of the big things we heard, especially from alumni who worked, you know, coming up through Warehouse and are now professionals in various artistic fields and want to be involved in arts education, that they always felt like there wasn't enough kind of feedback back into the organization. And so to answer your question, in a way, yes, we want to involve older people, but in mentorship roles and get them involved in doing projects with youth. You know, I think that it's a ways off, but it's something that we'd really like to institute eventually, is have a kind of resource for, you know, young emerging artists in Santa Fe to be able to do work at Warehouse with youths to produce art, show kids how this really works, and give them a really good kind of realistic perspective of what it takes to complete projects from start to finish and things of that nature. Because that's really the core of Warehouse's philosophy, has to do with, you know, do-it-yourself mentality.
So It's funny. The old space was kind of a, what would you say?
Funky.
Funky. That's
eclectic.
That's the word. Funky, eclectic, sort of falling apart, held together with
bubble
string
gum
and bubblegum.
And
yes.
Hopes and wishes.
Yeah, and that, in some way, is appropriate and makes people feel comfortable. You know, I would think makes young people feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
They can, you know, if some place gets a little bit trashed, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Now you've got this perfect, shining, gleaming thing. It's a sort of change of atmosphere.
Well, it's in the context of the entire rail yard, and one thing that's great about the new location is it's a stone's throw from where the old building was. We were able to basically stay in the same spot, but really grow up and develop and mature along with that whole tract down there. So I think it's going to fit in really well, and I think the kids are, you know, if you build it, they will come. It's only going to stay pristine for so long.
Well, and I think that we realize that that's one of the big challenges that we face. I think in a lot of ways, Warehouse is growing up as an organization, and so, you know, there's a real fine balance to be had there that is, you know, we have to steward these responsibilities that we have of this, you know, higher visibility, this new building, but at the same time be able to keep the core of what is Warehouse alive, which is, I think, kind of a feeling of youth ownership and a place of belonging, that it's a trusted space for youth where they can go and feel like, you know, they can express themselves freely, they can pursue art projects, they can pursue projects as far as they want to, you know, as long as they're not offensive, you know. So I think that's one of the big goals.
Has offensiveness ever been an issue?
It is, but you
have
know,
you ever dealt with teenagers? Just kidding.
No, I mean, from time to time, but it's not a huge problem. But I mean, I think that we always need boundaries. And one of the things that we're trying to figure out now is, you know, how do you create this space and meet your minimum responsibilities, but still allow that kind of creative freedom to go on, still allow the kind of organic growth of programs and things like that that have made Warehouse so successful.
So when will the new space actually open?
Well, you know, it's looking like the end of June, beginning of July for significant completion. Our structure is going to be completed sometime probably in late April, and that gives us a couple months to outfit it with all the other stuff, because right now, you know, we're just basically constructing the shell and building it out in the inside, you know, to meet the programming needs that we'll have.
Who decided the programming needs? Did you get the young people involved?
Definitely. You know, we've had about 50 planning meetings since September or so. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's my full-time hobby. and that's actually a process that I've been running as the board president. I've also been chairing a subcommittee of our board that deals specifically with the programming aspects, and we kind of broke it down into three major groups of media arts,
visual arts,
and performing arts, and then had groups working to plan in all those areas, having regular meetings, inviting people from the community to participate in those meetings, both professionals, people who had mentored in the past at Warehouse 21, youth who were participating at Warehouse 21 or are now in our limited capacity right now, and alumni, people who came up through Warehouse. So those are the people that really work to guide the process of what we're going to have in this new building.
A 300-seat theater sounds like something that probably a lot of community members would be interested in if somebody wants to put on a play, mm-hmm. you know, full-fledged grown-ups and so on. Is that going to be available?
I think so. I mean, one of the things that we're working on right now is to figure out where the larger community fits in terms of their own needs in our space. And we do want to be open to that. You know, I think it's something that anyone who's lived here long, you know, any amount of time realizes that there's a huge lack of venues for things like that, especially theater. And so we want to be open to that. Of course, you know, our first priority is our programming and our kids and making sure that there's no conflicts created by that. But, you know, as of right now, I think we already have three performing arts related programs set up. We have, you know, some one acts and a couple full-length plays already planned for the new building. So the scheduling is going to be the real trick here as we move into this new era of Warehouse being such a large resource.
When did Warehouse first come into being?
Well, it technically is Warehouse you know, it's newer than the original idea, which is it started originally from a CCA teen project years and years ago, and split off on its own, but it was originally started in the early 90s, 1992.
And so there are presumably a lot of people who came up through that who are still in the community.
Absolutely. In fact, two of them are going to be playing on Thursday night at the Catamount. Joaquin Gallegos, who's a flamenco player, and Alex Mariel with his blues band. They both kicked around Warehouse in their youth and are well-known and loved musicians at this point.
Do you have a way of tracking Warehouse alumni, so to speak?
Informally, you know, of course we have emails and a lot of them stay in contact. I think one of the big things that we found doing this is, unfortunately, a lot of the really successful people that came up from Warehouse aren't in Santa Fe anymore.
You don't know.
They blew out a Dodge and they never looked back.
I know. Well, you know, they're in San Francisco running a record label, or they're in New York City doing graphic design. So I think one of the big focuses that we had kind of on the highest strategic levels of going through this planning is, you know, how does Warehouse work in a way that better supports those kids in terms of providing real entrepreneurial experiences, in terms of providing connections to
local arts community.
Yeah, real world experiences. And I think that's going to be a big focus as we shift into the new building, is be able to provide those resources aside from just the artistic resources. And Warehouse has always been entrepreneurial in terms of paying kids for work and things of that nature. But I think it's going to a whole new level in terms of kind of placing Warehouse 21 in the middle of a continuum of arts education that involves collaborating with groups that work with younger children. And kind of creating a cohort before they even get to the age group that really participates in Warehouse, so they're kind of prepped for it. But also making connections on the back end, including, you know, the community college and the College of Santa Fe, so that kids coming through Warehouse, you know, have really easy inroads to continue arts education if that's something that they really want to pursue professionally. But also to have kids leaving, even, you know, at high school graduation age, with real world skills, you know, certifications and software programs and things like that that are actually real marketable skills in the modern world, where, you know, computer design especially is becoming increasingly popular and lucrative.
Now, is part of the concept of that to keep people in the community as opposed to having them go to San Francisco, New York, or whatever?
Well, I think on some level, you know, there's an underlying goal of Warehouse to create a robust arts community that's a domestic arts community that isn't so influenced by external forces and isn't so dependent on big out-of-town artists. I think that, you know, if you talk to any emerging artists or even established younger artists in Santa Fe, that's a huge problem, is, you know, getting inroads in the galleries and just penetrating that system. And Warehouse is almost a way of kind of circumventing all that and creating its own kind of scene. And I think that that's already happening, and it's always been happening. There's always been underground things happening in Santa Fe, you know, storage unit art shows and things like that. So I think, you know, creating Warehouse as part of that larger cohort of underground arts is really important for cultivating and keeping artists in Santa Fe and keeping them engaged.
I assume that you are also teaching young people to fundraise, which seems to be the ubiquitous activity of the city.
Yeah. Well, especially for us, you know, we're just on the tail end of a almost $4 million capital campaign. And, you know, it's definitely, it's one of the harder things to get kids engaged in fundraising on the level that we're talking about when we're talking about building
a
facility.
It's not a bake sale.
This isn't a bake sale.
Beyond.
It's just shy of a bake sale. I think, you know, we're trying to do lots of different things. We've been really successful. Our building is essentially paid for, and so at this point, you know, fundraising primarily for us is focused on, you know, operating funds and equipment in our new building. And that's probably the biggest trick about fundraising, has been, you know, with such an emphasis now for a few years on raising money for the capital campaign for paying for this building. It's definitely hurt being able to raise money for day-to-day operations, which have kind of been, you know, especially hindered by the fact that we haven't had a building for the last year, and about a third of our annual operating income comes from earned income. So we've been definitely disadvantaged by that as well.
let's talk about the all ages music shows that you've had and that you're planning to have. Obviously, these are alcohol-free spaces and smoke-free spaces, which for many of us is really a nice thing. Do they turn out to be really all-ages shows, or is it more like a teenage scene?
I can speak to that. I've been to a couple of shows at Warehouse, and I went sort of dragging my son along, thinking, oh, I'll be the dorky parent standing on the sidelines, and not at all. There were plenty of older people there, like you said, enjoying a smoke-free, alcohol-free venue where they could see music that they wouldn't get a chance to see otherwise.
What kind of music are we talking about?
Oh, God, one of the best shows I saw there was this Japanese band called the Poly Six, and they were very keyboard-heavy, very kind of Devo-esque with, like, costumes and...
Devo death metal, man.
Devo death metal, well put. And they actually were preceded by a local warehouse band that opened up for them, which is defunct. But that's a great thing, too, to pair, you know, the youth who are coming up with an established band and sort of give them some chops and get them on the stage.
The diversity of music at Warehouse really covers the entire spectrum
Absolutely.
Of music. I mean, it's
excluding perhaps classical music.
I wouldn't even exclude it.
I mean, especially in the future. I mean, it's definitely not been a focus, but, you know, it's something that, you know, nothing is excluded in terms of the resources that we have. And I think it's really driven mostly, you know, we have a group of youth promoters, and they're the ones who drive a lot of the shows at Warehouse. They're the ones who are booking bands and promoting them and bringing people in. And so, you know, there's kind of two levels going on there. You know, there's definitely larger shows that are promoted more formally through Warehouse, but we also have these youth promoters who are, you know, entrepreneurial young people who are booking, you know, doing it start to finish in terms of, you know, kind of putting on their own show. And so it's really diverse, the type of music that ends up being at Warehouse.
And I think it's really important to note also that everyone is welcome at Warehouse. There may be a conception, you know, that it's a certain kind of kid, and that's really not true. I mean, classical music, if you're a kid with a cello who wants to come down and do a solo performance.
Or a recording.
Exactly. I mean, we're going to have all of that opportunity.
And so those facilities will be so much more developed that it will attract all sorts of activities that haven't been there yet.
Well, hopefully. And, you know, the whole point of this, I think, too, is to kind of create an intersection of the arts community and youth culture, which really, you know, includes being very, very diverse and includes having an opportunity for anyone that wants to use the resource to be in there and to affect the environment and the culture that's around Warehouse 21.
One thing that I wonder about, which is a striking difference between the United States and other countries that I've visited, especially in Latin America, is the lack of generation gap in other places mm-hmm. compared to the really sort of tight boundaries between whatever one generation and another is.
Yeah.
I don't even know where those boundaries are. But somehow, I mean, I studied dance in Havana, Cuba, and I was hanging out with people ages sort of 15 to 70, mm-hmm. and they were integrated, and they talked to each other, and there wasn't this thing of like, ooh,
ageism.
An old person is here now, or oh dear, a young person is here now, or anything mm-hmm. like that. Somehow it didn't matter. And mm-hmm. what do we have here? I mean, what does it look like in the context of a place like Warehouse?
Well, you know, I think Santa Fe is a challenging landscape for youth in a lot of different ways. I think that, you know, in a community that's so driven by a resort economy, it has a lot of external pressure put on it from tourism, from second home populations, that it becomes kind of a hostile place for youth. And youth do kind of feel cordoned off in a lot of ways. If you look at, you know, some of the big issues that have come up in the last year, like park curfews and other things, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, you know, you have these policies.
Are those still in effect?
Well, they never passed the park curfew.
Oh, okay.
Due in part from a huge showing by young kids
youth.
That said, you know, you already have a law in the books. What are you, you know, you're beating a dead horse here. And it's really, you know, just persecuting people when they should be supporting things like Warehouse 21, which give kids a place to go and give an opportunity, you know, for kids from different backgrounds, both economically, socially, culturally, to interact with each other and kind of work through, you know, find a place of tolerance, you know. And I think that's one of the bigger issues that is the underlying problem, rather than kind of the policy level of, you know, addressing symptoms rather than the root causes.
So there is an event, and it's a fundraising event.
Yes.
At the Catamount, downtown Santa Fe. When and and what, and tell us all about it.
Okay, that's happening this Thursday night, which happens to be the 21st of February. It's 21% day, and the gracious folks at the Catamount have agreed to give us, to donate 21% of all of the day's sales. That includes lunch, dinner, drinks.
From the downstairs. That's the key differentiation.
Yes. We're not getting any of that pool table
money,
revenue.
Yeah. Yep.
but it's a really great fundraiser for us. We're going to have entertainment, like I said before. Joaquin Gallegos and Megan Chandler are going to be doing flamenco from, I think, 6 or 6:30 to 8. And then Alex Mariel and his entire blues band is going to be kicking in at 8:30. So I really invite everyone to come on down and grab a burger, some wings, have a drink, and know that you're helping Warehouse 21 in a very easy and passive way.
And that's, you know, all this coming Thursday.
That's this coming Thursday. And if any other local businesses are interested in hosting a 21% day, they can get in touch with us through our website or by calling. And when we laughed a little bit earlier at the bake sale idea, I just want to reiterate that no donation is too small. We're still in an active fundraising phase. And there's lots of opportunities to help, and you can check out our website for more information.
And what is the website?
It's warehouse21.org.
And where the 21 is the number 21.
The number 21, yes. Yeah, you know, fundraising is a really tricky thing. You know, I think that as we're, you know, even as a board and staff of the organization, you know, fundraising isn't, you know, necessarily our strong point. Programming has always been our strongest point. And so, you know, it's still tricky for us. So, you know, as a general call out to the community, people who have experience in fundraising or have some creative ideas, we're always looking for ways to make fundraising fun.
Oh, and our committees are really fun. I will say that, our committees and our meetings, so don't hesitate to join us.
What's the telephone number there?
People actually, you know, for fundraising stuff, you can call us directly. It's all kind of decentralized. The best way for planning large-scale stuff is to call Ana Gallegos y Reinhardt, who is the executive director of Warehouse 21. And I think that our main phone line is still connected to her house. And I don't actually have her home line.
Yeah, let's not give out home phone numbers right here, but people can just go to the website.
Warehouse 21's phone is her home phone.
Oh, okay.
At this point, she has two lines, but so that goes directly to her. But, you know, the best way, you know, people can contact me directly, and I'd be glad to give out my number. It's 699-9017,
okay.
And I'm definitely interested in talking to whoever wants to hear more about Warehouse or come up with some creative ideas for, you know, the future of Warehouse.
Well, Daniel Werwath is interim president of the Warehouse 21 board. Kimber Shining Star is joining us as well, also a member of the board of Warehouse 21, a fine organization. And we will see you at the Catamount this Thursday night here in Santa Fe. Where is the Catamount? What street is that on?
It's on East Water Street, 125
right.
East Water.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a little break right now. Stay tuned to KSFR.